at the moon. Don't know or what I am. In your arms a while, face a baby for it knows to smile.
Sadgurnath Maharaj Ki Jai. Namaste and blessings. The Swami welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. Welcome to Meditative Living with this Swami, Shivananda Giri. Today, we continue our work with the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, who is a primary member of this Swami's lineage. Nityananda was the guru of Swami Baba Muktananda, who was the guru to this Swami's guru, His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj of Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned American-born human being invited into the rank of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars, whose dharma duty it is to disseminate Sanatana Dharma, or more commonly referred to as Hinduism, on this particular planet. It is by the grace of God, the grace of Guru, the grace of Shiva, which may be said in three different ways in that case, but are exactly the same, by which this Swami does what is done here on Meditative Living on the type1radio.com site. Oh, also, I always forget to promo this. Should you wish to visit this Swami's very, very simple site, it's found at meditativeliving, no dots, no spaces, meditativeliving.info, not .com, .org, or .net, meditativeliving.info. And on that site, you will find this Swami's personal email address should you have any wish to reach out through email. Kindly allow this Swami to guarantee you, you will receive a reply, and whatever you have to be addressed will be addressed. Now, let us continue with the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Verse 257. Nityananda said, Dharana, the means by which buddhi's power of discrimination is increased. Dharana is the path to mukti. Dharana is the path leading to the highest. For prana, or life energy, to become steady, dharana is a means. When life energy becomes steady, the mind also becomes steady. When prana is given an up action, then jnana enters every nerve and peace is the result. Then nature and the subtle become separate. When powers resulting from yoga, peace of mind, forgiveness, patience, these are experienced in buddhi. Those who practice constant dharana feel that the whole external world is existing in themselves. One should, being quite steady in mind, be enjoying eternal joy, or Nityananda. Atma is beyond all karmas and formality. Karma is that which is done without attachment. A man is free from sin if he performs karmas disinterestedly. Karma is that which is done by the knowledge of Atma, which is actionless and passionless. The commentary. The constant, steady contemplation over God, or dharana, this dharana is stepping away from the text for a moment. Dharana, or dharana, is a portion, a level of the yogic science. And it refers to the development of one-pointed focus, or centering is another term used with dharana. Now, back to the text. The constant, steady contemplation or rumination over God, or dharana, is how the individual intellect is purified. It is how you develop the subtle discrimination that allows you to see God at all times. This steady contemplation, this constant remembrance of God, is the path to liberation. Through dharana, the breath becomes slow and steady. When prana, the life force, becomes steady, the mind becomes quiet. When this prana is directed upward into the sushumna to the sahasrara, jnana, or true knowledge and wisdom, enters every nerve of your being, and a steady peace is the result. When this steady peace dawns, you are able to discriminate between what is real and what is unreal. You are able to observe God's immanent and transcendental aspects at play. And you are able to choose the transcendental over the ignorance of worldliness. Then the qualities of peace, compassion, patience, and forgiveness come looking for you. When you practice the constant dharma that quiets the mind, your experience is that the entire universe exists inside you and is reflected on your own internal screen. In this way, you come to enjoy eternal bliss. This state of bliss is the Atman. It is beyond all activity and formality. Selfless service, or karma yoga, is that which is done without attachment to the result. A person is freed from the bondage of ignorance when he or she performs actions with complete dispassion. When you perform karma in this way, you do not create any new karmas for yourself. Verse 258. Nityananda said, Atma is not perceptible to the senses. It is perceived by intelligence. It is not perceptible as a thing with form and qualities. To those whose attention is fixed on the body, it is very, very difficult to attain peace. It is also very difficult for them to see the Atma. The attention towards the visible should be lessened. The love towards the invisible should be increased. So long as the attention is directed towards the visible, pain and pleasure may appear to be dual. But when the attention is directed towards the invisible, the sense of duality will disappear. The commentary. God cannot be perceived or experienced through the senses. God is experienced when the senses and the mind are completely quiet, so that the individual intelligence can be easily directed to Shiva. You cannot attain peace by attachment to the body. The job of the body and the senses is to conceal God. This is their very nature, to cause delusion and to limit your true nature. For this reason, your attention should always be on God, even as you go about your mundane daily activities. This is the goal of yoga, to destroy all sense of duality. Now, kindly allow this Swami to add something here. When we speak of destroying something, such as in this case, duality, or in other cases within this text, speaking of destroying the mind, destroying this, destroying that, we are not discussing the actual destruction of that thing, that concept, or that perception. What is meant in this use of the word destroy is to dissolve that primary identification and function into the universal, the one without a second even possible. This is what brings subtle discrimination. things are clearly known directly and consciously for what they are and as they are. Okay? So the fact that the yogic process, which again, remember, yoga only means union, reuniting the individuated unit of consciousness with the source of all consciousness. And you can assign any set of syllables or deity or whatever to that that pleases you. Fine. But when we speak of destroying the sense of duality, that doesn't mean it doesn't continue to be perceived. The dual nature of things and the understanding then of as above, so below, as within, so without, that sort of then make complete sense. And it is seen for what it is. But you still, within the physical third dimensional earth framework of the body with physical senses and an outwardly focused mind, you still perceive all that stuff. You know, there's a right and a left and an up and a down and an inside and an outside and a plus and a minus and good or bad or, you know, but even though you continue to perceive these things, you understand their nature. You understand the purpose in their being and the function which they fulfill within the game that is the play of itself. Hope that explains a bit. Verse 259, Nityananda said, the sacred syllable Om is like a storm in the sky. Om is without beginning or ending. Omkar is like a stage manager in a drama. As it works through the bodies of men and women, those bodies are pervaded by Omkar. This syllable is inside us, outside us, and everywhere. It is the cause of everything that exists. We need not bring it up to consciousness anywhere. That sound exists in everything. We need not recall it separately to memory. This energy is not divisible. It is indivisible. This sound exists in every animal. Whatever sound is produced by animals is nothing but Omkar. What is called pranava or pranava is another name for Omkar. When it is united with prana and moves in the body, it is called pranava. When nature and the subtle, i.e. the physical and the non-physical, are separate, it is still pranava. When we feel both to be one, then it is called the feeling of oneness. And this is identical with Omkar. At that time, one sees the one everywhere. That which you worship with faith becomes all. The commentary. The sacred mantra Om is like the power of creation and destruction. Om is in everything, and everything is in Om. This sound pervades everything and everyone everywhere. The mantra, Om, is contained inside every living being and creature. It is who we are, therefore requires no concept or idea to understand and experience. The sound, Om, is the indivisible energy of Shiva Shakti. Even animals produce the sound, Om. When this sound mixes with prana, the life force, it becomes all of the vital constituents of the physical body. It is known as pranava in this way. When this pranava merges with our experience of the absolute, we then experience Shiva consciousness. To worship this inner experience with faith is to absorb the entire universe into yourself. Kindly allow this one to step away from the text and bring this into a framework of our Christian brothers and sisters. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, take that term, Word, in that context, replace with Om, and you've got exactly the same thing. No difference whatsoever. The Word, or the Om, is only referring to the vast range of vibrational frequencies that entirely make up and pervade all of creation at any level, realm, dimension, place, time, thing. It is all that in action, experiencing separation, playing the role of an actor on the stage of the play of consciousness. Returning to the text. Verse 260. Nityananda said, that energy called Omkar pervades the universe and is formless. It is the light in all and light of all. Ignorance and knowledge are mere phantoms, not realities. Happiness and misery will never touch a man who has realized the oneness. The commentary. Omkar is Spanda Shakti. It emanates as sound from this one unifying Spanda principle, which is the formless absolute Shiva. What we refer to as ignorance and knowledge are concepts created by the use of language. And language is a limitation in Shiva's Maya that is responsible for its illusion. Concepts like happiness and misery are only words used to educate the unenlightened. A siddha, a God-realized being, is not tainted by these concepts and lives well beyond their limitation. Stepping away from the text for those unfamiliar, spanda refers to pulsation, the pulse, the beat of creation. See, Shiva is the infinite, eternal point of stillness and silence. Shakti is the projection from that which creates all the vast vibrational frequency range, and the creation which finds its existence within that range. So Shiva Shakti, two sides, same coin. One side, the silence and the stillness. One side, the activity and the creation and everything possible within that. Okay? So that's what Shiva Shakti and Spanda mean. Should you be unfamiliar with the term Maya, that is most generally used to represent the temporary and illusory nature of what we experience day to day in this appearance of separation and difference and its play. So Maya is not mythological or incorrect. It is simply temporary and moving, developing, growing, changing, sometimes stagnant, sometimes fast moving. All of those things are represented within the term Shiva's Maya. Okay? Verse 261. Actually, let us get to verse 261 in a bit. Sonic, kindly begin the break music. We will be back with more here on Meditative Living.
Shiva, Shiva, Shiva.
Namaste and blessings. Welcome back to Meditative Living with Swami Sivananda Giri, working with you from the text that is known as the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Ganesh Puri is a town in India that sprung up around Nityananda. He stopped there and began teaching and doing things and just being Nityananda. And this town grew up around him. Chittakasha, we will get into some more conversation within the text about what that means. But which this Swami neglected in the preface to beginning today. The Chittakasha Gita, what this book is, by the way, Gita means song, but that's what this is. It is, you know, taken from that perspective, be a song about the Chittakasha, the heart of all, where everyone's home is. But Nityananda himself, as an embodied human, was born fully awake, fully aware, and was not particularly given to conversation. He did not typically carry out long discourses on topics and things like that. The Chittakasha Gita came to be because a disciple of his, a woman named Tulsi Amma, began jotting down when Nityananda, in a transcendental state, would just start saying stuff, not particularly to anyone, just saying them. And his students came to understand that if Bhagwan opened his mouth, you should pay attention. Because things of no value rarely ever came out. So when these sayings would come, Tulsi Amma would write it down. She spent about 7 years engaged in the effort of writing down when Nityananda would speak. This collection has come to be known and published as the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda. So, let us continue. Verse 261, Nityananda said, if you have manas, or mind, you want everything. If you have no manas, you do not want anything. If you have manas, God becomes a separate being to you. When you have merged manas in buddhi, you have no separate God. All appears as one. If you have desire, you want a separate God because God's help is necessary to accomplish your desire. Then the manas goes after the various objects of the senses and causes doubt about various matters. Then one feels the necessity of an idol or an image. Cause and effect appear to be two separate categories. The image worship is due to maya or ignorance. The commentary. When you focus your inner energy outside of yourself, the mind is formed. The nature of the mind is to think and to become active with concepts, notions, and desires for this and that. So once the mind is formed in this outward flow, you start to desire objects. And that desire leads to cravings and your want for everything. When the mind is thought free, it dissolves. This is the state of samadhi. In this state, your experience is that of complete bliss. And because there are no thoughts, you have no desires, and you do not do anything. When the mind is formed, you experience God as being separate from yourself. When engaged in thoughts, concepts, and notions in this way, you begin to see spirituality as a field to grow crops in. The notion of a separate God serves your idea of the fulfillment of sense pleasures and worldly pleasures because you want something or someone to turn to help you acquire objects. This pursuit of craving and desire leads to the experience of pain and pleasure. Pain and pleasure create doubt in the mind, and this doubt causes you to have fear. Then you feel the necessity to worship, whether an idol or a statue or a big bearded sky daddy, something that will listen to your problems and grant your desires without questioning your motives. Although cause and effect seem to be two separate things, one who has merged consciousness in the absolute knows that these are one in the same. They are experienced inside the body of supreme consciousness on one's own internal screen. Verse 262, Nityananda said, what is called Akash is in the upward direction. What is called male is a subtle state. What is called female is nature. The commentary. Akash means space. The upward direction is a reference to directing prana upwards through the sushumna, which is a subtle tube, if you will, that runs from the base of the spine up through the top of the head, through the crown chakra. Again, the upward direction is a reference to directing prana upwards through the sushumna into the heart space in the head in order to experience chittakasha. In yoga science, references to male are references to the transcendental aspect of God's nature, and references to female are indications of God's immanent aspect or representation himself of this world appearance, which he manifests inside his own being. To a siddha, one who has perfected their consciousness and awareness, the physical body is not real. Only divine consciousness is real. So the words male and female cannot be references to the body or the gender of that. verse 263, Nityananda said, "Men who have no desire need not have a separate God. They need not strive for anything. When the mind runs after various objects of the senses to bring the mind to one-pointedness, what is called the practice is necessary. Man should concentrate on buddhi as long as there is the beating of the pulse and as many times as the pulse beats. The manas should not be united with the senses. Whatever you may do, your mind should be concentrated inwards upon the highest intellect. In order that a man may not be drowned in water, he must learn how to swim. Maya should be conquered by the supreme Maya. What is Maya? When the mind runs after sense objects, a variety of desires are created. It is you that clings to the coconut tree. The coconut tree does not cling to you. Similarly, has Maya hands and legs to catch hold of you?" The commentary. Once you remove limited desire from your being, once you desire only to be absorbed in God and to follow that role, then you realize you are in God and God is in you. It is the nature of the mind to be fickle. It is the nature of the mind to chase after and crave objects of the senses. So the mind must be trained to break this habit. This training occurs through daily spiritual practice under the instruction of the master. It is only through this practice that the mind can be taught to seek God and become absorbed in God. This world appearance is like an ocean of craving and desire. When you eliminate craving and desire, then you are able to swim in this ocean without fear of drowning. Shiva's Maya is this ocean of worldliness. Conquer this by merging with the creator of it. Shiva, you are greater than your cravings and desires for pleasure and pain. You are above these. It is not that they come looking to subdue you. It is you who chase after them. Stop chasing pleasure and pain. Stop clinging to craving and desire. Shiva's Maya cannot keep you in bondage unless you choose to remain ignorant by turning away. So, follow the master, do your practices daily for as long as your heart is beating. Verse 264, Nityananda said, "Purposelessness is felt only in the subtle. Discrimination is becoming one with manas in buddhi. What is called samadhi is seeing the one in all. By practice, one must conquer the six enemies of the Atman within the body, desire, anger, etc. A sadhaka, a student in the beginning of God realization, should not talk ill of others. If he does so, his progress will be retarded. Like that of a sprout on which a heavy stone is placed, a sadhaka must not relax his practice even for 24 minutes. The mind should be ceaselessly engaged in this practice. The commentary. Freedom from attachment and aversion is known as the state of purposelessness or dispassion. This state can only be experienced by going inside. Perfect discrimination intellect and the mind are merged in God. What is called samadhi is seeing God in everything, in everyone, everywhere. By practice, one must conquer the six enemies of the Atman or soul in the body, which are limited desire, anger, greed, lust, illusion, and envy. In the early stages of your spiritual practice, it is very important you don't gossip about other people and find fault with them. This is a mistake that many seekers and yogis make. Fault finding and gossip destroy the shakti that you are seeking to build inside through your practice. Like that of a sprout on which a heavy stone is placed. A sadhaka, a practicing yogi, must not relax his practice or her practice, even for a gatika, which is a time period of 24 minutes. The mind should be ceaselessly engaged in spiritual practice through cultivating the constant awareness of God. Verse 265. Nityananda said, the prana must be firmly fixed in an upward direction with great faith. That is the path to liberation. This body is like a cave to the Atman, or the soul. And in this cave dwells the eternal Atman. Yoga means becoming one. When the two become one, that is yoga. When the mind and the intellect, the highest intellect, become one, that is yoga. When jiva, or the individual, travels by the path of buddhi and enters brahmarandra, that is called yoga. Devotion, reasoning, and power, these three become one and then become Omkar. Egotism becomes merged in Omkar. Just as camphor is lost in fire, mind and buddhi become one with each other. Like little children rocked to sleep. Chitta, mind, being placed in buddhi or intellect, must know who the I is. The commentary. The path to liberation is inside yourself. That path is literally the central nerve or Sushumna Nadi, and that is the Siddha path, or the path of the perfected. When the awakened Kundalini Shakti blazes upward through this central path. Your entire being is purified, and the ego, individual intellect, and mind, along with the senses, become absorbed in Shiva consciousness. This is the only true spiritual path. In order to cause Kundalini to rise, you first should receive Shaktipat from a Siddha. After Shaktipat, once instructed in the right use of pranayama, Kundalini rises on the back of prana shakti. When this prana, referring to breath, is properly directed into the Sushumna Nadi and remains there, liberation is attained. This is the path of yoga that causes the intellect, ego, mind, and senses to merge in the absolute. Only that which causes your identity to become one with the absolute can be called yoga. When this occurs, your limited power of reasoning merges with chitti shakti, and you become one with the power of the mantra om. You become one with the deity of the mantra, Shiva. Just as camphor dissolves in fire, when the mind becomes absorbed in God, it dissolves into the universal mind. Just as a child can be rocked gently to sleep, you can gently wean your mind off of the limitation of sense objects and cause it to dissolve in Shiva consciousness. In this way, you come to know who you really are, that supreme I consciousness, others may refer to as God. Next week, we will pick up from verse 266. Kindly allow this, Swami, to announce, as we are coming to the close of our work with the Chittakasha Gita text. The next effort has been chosen and arranged and will begin soon. The next effort for the Meditative Living Show will be the presentation of the authoritative Guru Gita, 352 shlokas or verses. Now, there is currently existing and recently released a book entitled The Authoritative Guru Gita of His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj. The commentary found within that book was written under the direction, supervision, and approval of His Holiness, whom we refer to lovingly as HH. Now, Swami Anantanandagiri was one of the very first students that this Swami had the joy of, let's call it, attaching the training wheels to, and assisting them to become prepared for further instruction, transmitting Shaktipat for them from the Guru. Now, since the attachment of the training wheels, the man now known to us and writing under the title Swami Anantanandagiri is a Swami himself and is carrying on his duties as assigned for the good of any who would expose themselves to his work. But coming up, when we begin the work with the 352 shlokas or verses of the authoritative Guru Gita, during this Swami Anantanandagiri, who will read the verse first in Sanskrit, then this Swami will read the verse in English, then we shall discuss commentary and what that verse may represent. And please understand that these verses have multiple levels of meaning and understanding, depending upon where you are seated at the time of hearing them or reading them. So this is going to be a very long project to get all 352 verses presented in both the original Sanskrit and the modern English, and then discussing the commentary regarding what these verses or shlokas inform us of, and how we can use them within our individual practice, within our individual lives. So, that is what is up next here on Meditative Living. Thank you ever so much for allowing this Swami to be of service today, whether you're listening live or in the archive at Type 1 Radio, digit 1, type1radio.com. We look forward to being of service again soon. Namaste and blessings.